enjoy reading. Somebody that passed away, I believe, just maybe within the last year, is Jerry Bridges, and somebody that I'm sure you've heard me quote many, many times. And you know, one of my favorite books, a book that I've often recommended for each of you, is a book entitled The Pursuit of Holiness. And also, this is where and whom we get our devotions from each and every week in the bulletin. But in our pursuit of holiness, Jerry Bridges would say, and I think we would say, that within that pursuit, we are constantly dealing with sin in our lives. That we are constantly trying to eradicate it or get rid of it in our lives. And as we mature in our faith, though, the more we mature and the more we get rid of maybe the surface sin in our lives, Jerry Bridges, and I've heard him say this in person, that it is very much like an onion. That all of a sudden we peel back a layer and we see another kind of set of sin in our lives. And as we become better and more fully aware of the holiness of God, we peel back another layer of this onion and see another layer of sin in our lives. And as we mature and grow in our faith, and the closer we get to Christ, the more we see how sinful we are. The better reflection that we have on His holiness, a better reflection we have on our sinfulness. So it's because of that that he wrote this book. This book is called Respectable Sins. And the subtitle is Confronting the Sins That We Tolerate. And in his preface, he mentions this. The motivation for this book stems from a growing conviction that those of us whom I call conservative evangelicals may have become so preoccupied with some of the major sins of society around us that we have lost sight of the need to deal with our own sin, the more refined and subtle sins. So he writes on a number of different topics. Those things that are sin, but yet we kind of accept them. We say they're not that bad. It's okay. There's a reason why we rationalize and we continue to do it. We don't confront each other. We don't convict each other. And one of those chapters is on sins of the tongue. So you're getting a sense of where we're going here, right? I want to quote the beginning of that chapter. He says, in the months that I've been working on this book, I have often been asked in social settings, what are you working on now? And when I mention the respectable or acceptable sins that we tolerate, invariably somebody will roll their eyes and say, oh, you mean like gossip? Apparently, this is the first of the Christian sins that comes to mind, so it must be quite prevalent among us and is something that we continue to tolerate in our lives. And he's so very true. But yet we see throughout the Bible that gossip and slander are items that God hates, are items that God says that we shall not do. It is that specific. And I'm going to give you a couple passages of scripture before we jump into our section in James. But we see slander, and I think we can say gossip, mentioned throughout the Word of God. Proverbs 10, verse 18 says, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And then we see one of the Ten Commandments, the ninth commandment specifically, found in Exodus chapter 20. It says, you shall not bear false witness. You shall not slander against your neighbor. as I was preparing for this section of scripture and speaking on the topic of slander and gossip, one commentator, somebody that I very much respect, apparently did the homework and said, if you were to look in the Old Testament and look at all the different offenses that are mentioned in the Old Testament, that the offense of slandering God and slandering man is more than any other offense that is mentioned. Yet we live in a society, and we live, unfortunately, in a church time, and I think it goes back to the first church, and we're going to see this in James, that it's acceptable. It's allowed. Sometimes it's hidden, meaning in the way in which we phrase it, but it is still gossip. We see this in Proverbs. Those things that the Lord hates, it says, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. We see them listed. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, and a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. So despite seeing some misspellings in my slide, I see that there are three things that are listed there out of the seven that all deal with the tongue. We see lying, we see false witness or slander, and we see sowing discord, which oftentimes comes with our tongue, with the words that we speak. And our words are important. So much so that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, he said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word that they speak. And I'm guessing for some of us, that's a pretty big account. Now, as we look at the Old Testament, as we look at the New Testament, and as we kind of focus our lens a little bit closer to the book of James, we see he too speaks much about the tongue. Matter of fact, 20% of what James says deals specifically with our tongue. I've shared with you before, a pastor that I used to serve under called it the Little Red Rebel. And we've read these verses, especially through chapter 3, we see it over and over again. As an example, he says this in chapter 1, verse 19, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James said in chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And then just not so long ago, we covered James chapter 3, verse 8, in which James says, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. So again, we take the sin of slander and of gossip, and so oftentimes we minimize it. So oftentimes we do think that it is acceptable and we tolerate it. But yet, I think what James will point out today, that it is a much bigger, deeper issue than just some words. Grant Richardson, who is a Canadian Bible expositor, somebody from Canada, and somebody that speaks heavily in the book of James, has a good commentary, and specifically on this verse said this. He said, since slander breaches the law of love, it infringes on God's law, which is the word. In doing so, we put ourselves above God's word. And this is arrogance of the highest order, because we take the word of God out of the equation. To speak disparagingly of fellow Christians and to speak is to speak despairingly of the word of God. So as we slander Christians, we're slandering the word of God. Because the essence of the word of God is to love God and to love our neighbor. So this morning I give you that background as we continue on our study in the book of James. Specifically, James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And I give you that background because, again, I think all of us, for the most part, would come to this passage and think, everyone gossips. And it's not that big of a deal. Or maybe we think others gossip and we ourselves don't gossip. But I can guarantee you that there are many in this church, not saying specifically I've heard it, but just due to how our sin nature is, there are many of us in this church that struggle with this area. And I mention this to tell you, don't take this lightly. We've said over and over again that the book of James steps on our toes, and he will do it again today. And hopefully you have steel-toed boots on, because it's a pretty big step. And if it's an area you struggle with, hopefully it's an area that causes you pain. So let's read James chapter 4. Again, I will have it on the screen. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to follow along there. Take notes as we go. We're just going to cover these two verses. James chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Do not speak evil against one another." So we see a command there. It's an imperative. We are not to do this. And the implication is, the way it's written in the Greek, that it is a continual issue that the church at Jerusalem is having. So, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Verse 12, "There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbors?" So our outline for this morning, we're going to look at, what is James' command? What is he saying? And importantly, what is he not saying? Secondly, we're going to see that slander places ourselves above the law, and that's going to be in verse 11. And then we're going to see slander places ourselves above God, and that's in verse 12. And then we'll have a few verses of application at the end. So first, what is James saying? We see here, and I have it bolded, there are three times in which he uses the word kataleleo. He says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law." So we see this word is used three different times. And the word kataleleo means to slander, to criminate, to defame. And if you were to look up this verse, and if you had a Strong's Concordance, or if you had another version of being able to look up the words and where they're used in throughout the Old and New Testament, you would see that this word is used two other verses, both found in 1 Peter. First one is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. And I have the verse there on the screen, but let me read you a little bit of the context first. So this word is used in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. I'm going to read verse 9 through verse 12. Verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you," there is the word, "so when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." We see that verse also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. But again, I'm going to read you a little bit more of the context. I'm going to read from verse 13 through 16. Says, "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, so that when you are spoken against, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So we see in both of these verses, it is the world. It is the unbelieving world that is going to speak out against you as a believer. It is the unbelieving world that will try to harm the testimony of Jesus Christ by speaking against you and saying you're no different than the rest of the world and your faith is nothing. But yet, when we look in our passage, who is the one doing the defaming? Who is the one speaking against? Who is the one slandering? Who is the one gossiping? I have it highlighted there 3 times. The word what? Brothers. So the gossiping, the slandering that is occurring within the church. They are speaking against each other. Another term that's used. They are backbiting one another. It's not from the world, but it's from within the church at Jerusalem. So we have to ask the question, why? Why would the church of Jerusalem be slandering each other? Why would any church, why would any brother and sister in Christ speak ill of someone else? I think the first reason is we're all sinners. We're sinners who have been saved by grace, but we are still sinners. We still carry around a flesh that causes us to stumble. And we see here, I believe, that it is the root of all sin, I believe, is pride. And I think what we see here is people slander, people gossip against each other because of pride. It's a pride of knowledge. We have this choice morsel that we want to share with somebody and tell them because we're in the know and we know something they don't have. And knowledge is powerful, so therefore we gossip. Or it's the pride of self-exaltation. That if we talk down another person, that if we speak ill of another person, if we share the sinfulness of another person, what does that do on the flip side? It makes us look more what? Righteous. So we look at this issue of slander and issue of gossip and it being within the church. It is an issue of pride. We speak ill about people because it feeds our self-ego of righteousness, self-righteousness. So you may be saying, okay, so what actually is what James is speaking about? What is the definition of kataleo? And I saw this definition in one of the commentaries that I read, and it says what James is speaking of are these items. 1, malicious talk, false report, telling lies, and I think all of those fall under slander, and the unhelpful repeating of stories about the wrongs and offenses of others. The unhelpful repeating of stories about the wrongs and offenses of others. And that's gossip. It's something that is a struggle, I know, for many people, and it is damaging. It can destroy people's lives, and it can destroy churches. There are many stories. You don't have to go far to read that. Peter McMaster, who is now the pastor at the church in which Charles Spurgeon spoke at, I was fortunate enough to actually go to that church and hear Peter McMaster preach one Sunday. He said this about gossip, and again, speaking about this passage, he said, gossip is an act of hatred, not only toward those criticized, but toward the whole fellowship of God's people. It lays an axe to the root of brotherly love and union. This gossip is dangerous. Unfortunately, gossip spreads from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. I was reminded this morning, I was sitting here and reviewing my notes and was reminded of an old commercial. I have no idea what the product was. It just popped into my mind. But I remember there was a commercial that used to say, they'll tell two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. And that's what gossip is. In our sense of pride, in our sense of pride of knowledge, in our sense of pride of self-righteousness, we tell somebody something that we should not. We tell something that is a repeating of stories about wrongs and offenses of someone else. And that just goes. It's like a spark. You know, we talked about James saying the tongue is like a spark that sets a fire and all of a sudden it's ablaze. And that's what gossip is like. Somebody shared with me a movie that they watched, and this was in response to, we spoke of the tongue a number of weeks ago, probably a couple months ago, and we talked about the acronym of THINK, and we're going to see that at the end, so if you don't know it, you're going to get to see it again. If you do know it, you're going to be reminded of it. But this person said there was a movie that they watched, and it talked about the sin of gossip and what a good word picture it was. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to quote from you that movie. It was a movie called Doubt. It was in the late 2000s that it was issued. And the scene is a priest who is sharing a sermon. And by the way, if you look up this story, you find out that it's a story that's common in the Catholic Church, in the Jewish community with rabbis, and in the evangelical church with pastors. But in this case, it is a priest. So let me read you the transcript. It says, a woman was gossiping, and this is the gentleman who, the priest who is preaching to his congregation. He says, a woman was gossiping with a friend about a man she hardly knew. I know none of you have done this before. That night she had a dream, and a great hand appeared over her and pointed down at her, and she was immediately seized with an overwhelming sense of guilt. The next day she went to confession. She got the old parish priest, Father O'Rourke, and she told him the whole thing. She asked the question, is gossiping a sin? She asked the old man, and was that the hand of God Almighty pointing a finger at me? She said, should I be asking for your absolution? Father, tell me, have I done something wrong? By the way, we see some of the errors of the Catholic Church there. Yes, Father O'Rourke answered. Yes, you ignorant, badly brought up female. You have borne false witness against your neighbor. You have played fast and loose with his reputation, and you should be heartily ashamed. So the woman said that she was sorry and she asked for forgiveness. Not so fast, says O'Rourke. I want you to go home. I want you to take a pillow up onto your roof, cut it open with a knife, and return here to me. So the woman went home. She took a pillow off of her bed, a knife from the drawer, went up the fire escape to the roof. She stabbed the pillow. And then she went back to the old parish priest has instructed. Did you gut the pillow with the knife, he says? Yes, Father. And what was the result? Feathers, she said. Feathers, he repeated. Yes, feathers, feathers everywhere, feathers, Father. Now the priest says, I want you to go back and gather up every last feather that flew out on the wind. Well, she said, it can't be done. I don't know where they went. The wind took them all over. And that, said Father O'Rourke, is gossip. Isn't that a true picture of what gossip is? We say words, we harm reputations, we say things that aren't maybe true or are true but are damaging and should not be revealed, and those words spread like fire, and we cannot take them back. Someone's reputation has been destroyed. But yet we think gossip is acceptable or respectable. So, we have a sense of what gossip is, what slander is, what James is speaking of. Let's quickly say what James is not speaking of. James is not saying that we do not confront sin within the church. And we see that throughout Scripture. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught up in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." You should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Not take their sin and spread it around the church and tell everyone, pray for this person because they have an issue with this or that or the other. But you need to go to them. You need to confront them with the Word of God. And to do so in a spirit of gentleness. Not hit them over the head with a 2x4, but with the goal of seeing them restored. We also see similarly that Matthew, in the book of Matthew, Jesus tells us that we are to confront those in sin. And there is what many folks would say, what is the Matthew 18 principle? So let's read it. I will read it. So if you see somebody that is in sin, what are we to do? Are we to tell everyone in the church about this? Are we to gossip and share this information to everyone? Or what does Jesus Christ say we ought to do? Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you. And I would say take those whom are spiritually mature, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and as a tax collector. So James is not saying that we ignore sin. James is not saying that we do not confront sin. But we need to confront it biblically and in order and according to what we see in Scripture. So, we have a sense of what sin is, what sin, or what James is speaking of, what James is speaking not of. Let's continue in verse 11 and see how this places oneself above the law. And I have listed there the passage in the end of verse 11. It says, "The one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." So we see, speaking again of the law, that a slanderer is saying that he is above the law, that he is judging the law. The question is, what is the law that he's speaking of? And we see James referencing that earlier in chapter 2, verse 8. He says, if you fulfill the royal law, this is the law that we're speaking of, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. James is quoting here. And what James is quoting is from Leviticus 19. says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if we're speaking against a brother, if we're slandering, if we're gossiping, all of a sudden we've placed ourselves above the law. The law that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. Is gossip love? Is it showing love? Is it showing compassion towards our neighbor? It's not. You may say, well, how do we know that what James is speaking of is neighbor because he says about our brothers, and all you have to do is look at the bottom of the verse. He says, but who are you to judge your neighbor? We see this also reinforced in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8 says, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you should not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. So we see here that James speaks about ultimately how when we slander, if we slander, if we are to share gossip with people, that we are placing ourselves above the law because the law says that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And therefore, if we're doing this, are we showing that love? Another passage that we see is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. So again, I'll ask you, is gossip or slander, is that loving your neighbor as yourself? If we speak slander, if we speak gossip, are we not speaking against or condemning the royal law? See, it's not just some respectable sin that everyone does and we condone. But it's placing ourselves above the word. It's placing ourselves above the law of God. It's saying that the law of God doesn't mean anything. If all of a sudden we accept this as being okay in our circles, in our world, we're saying that our law is better than the law of God. MacArthur said, sin is not some little slip over here in the corner without major implications. Sin is in effect saying, I am superior to the law of God. I'm not under that law. I'm not bound to that law. I will not live by that law. God can't tell me what to do. I'm in charge. That is what sin says. And if you're saying the law of God is unworthy of my behavior, the law of God then is useless. You see, whenever we violate the law and we do so willingly and continue to do so, we're saying that we're superior to the law. That God's not in charge, that I'm in charge, that I'm not subjective to His law, but that I have a higher law myself. Our sin is saying that the law of God is unworthy of my attention, that it's unworthy of my affection, it's unworthy of my obedience, it's unworthy of my submission. We see at the end of this passage in verse 11, the end of this verse, it says, but if you judge the law, if you condemn it by ignoring it, you're not a doer of the law, but you're a judge. You see, all of a sudden you have climbed up behind the bench and you're now in charge. You rejected your position of being one who's under the authority of law, and you've taken the position that you're above the law, that you're the one in charge, that you're the one calling the shots. So it's not just this little sin of gossip or slander. all of a sudden we're saying we're the ones in charge. We're the ones sitting on the throne. We're the judge. We're the ones saying what is right and what is wrong. This leads to our final point, that as we slander, as we speak ill, evil against another, as we gossip and do so without much care, that we're not only sinning, and that we're not only placing ourselves above the law, but we're also placing ourselves above God. Verse 12, there's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbors? You see, there's one lawgiver, there's one judge, and it is the one who has the power over life and death, has the power over heaven and hell. And we see that in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Only God has the power to do that. We're not the judge. It is he who has the keys of death and the keys of Hades. You see, Paul, somebody that we love to read, said something very similar. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes. It is he who will bring light to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. The one who gave the law is also the one who will judge men by the law. He is the lawgiver and he is the law applier. He gave the law, he applies the law, he judges the law, and he also has the power to deliver us from the penalty of the law. And by the way, we should be relieved by that. We should be relieved that our judge is not each other, but our judge is the infinitely wise, omnipotent, all-present God that not only created us, but sustains us. It's he and only he who is qualified to be the judge. And why is that? Because he's full of wisdom. He knows your thoughts even before you think them. We know that his ways are not our ways. We know that he does not only look at the surface and see the surface, but he looks way beyond that into the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height. This is whenever they're picking who is going to be the next. Do not look on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Okay, I told you the one who's gossiping often is doing so to make themselves appear righteous. No matter how good we make ourselves appear, we are all sinners. We're sinners saved by grace, by the grace of God. In my life, in my sinfulness, in many ways, while it may have different colors, is no different than your sinfulness. And we as believers should not go around and parade our own self-righteousness by putting down others. It's God who has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. We know whomever has the Son has life. So the God who made the laws is the one who judges the laws, who's the one who provides mercy. couple slides of application, and then we'll be done. A couple thoughts on gossip overall. One, gossip can be attractive. The words of a whisper are like delicious morsels. They go down into the inner parts of the body. So I tell you, please be careful. All of a sudden, these little morsels of information, they become desirous. We like to hear them. We like to be in the know. Be careful. It is so dangerous. We see that gossip can do overwhelming damage. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends. I'm sure many of you can account for relationships that have been destroyed over gossip, over slander. You do not have to look far to see stories of ruins, ruins of churches, ruins of individual lives. Actually, you can see death and suicide over things that were falsely gossiped about. Remember the definition, the unhelpful repeating of stories about the wrongs and offenses of others. You may say, well, how do I know if what I'm saying is gossip, right? I'll give you one easy way of testing it. If what you're saying about another person, and you're talking to somebody, would what you say be the same as if that person you're talking about was standing in front of you? If I'm sharing something that is a wrong or offense of a person, and all of a sudden that person comes into our conversation, am I going to continue to share that, or do I all of a sudden, oh, you know what, I'll tell you about this later? It's gossip. This juicy morsel that you want to share with somebody. The person you're speaking about was present. Would you still share that same item? And we see gossip is a fuel of conflict. Proverbs chapter 26, the lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisper, where there is no gossiper, quarreling ceases. As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. See, gossip hurts the body of Christ. It divides the body of Christ. It slanders. It produces strife. It separates friends. It separates brothers. As James says, it is sin. So what are we to do? First, repent. Repent of the sin of gossip and slander. Change your heart. Remember we said that about last week, repent, the word actually means to change your heart. Stop doing it. Ask for forgiveness. I am sure for many in here, this is a problem. And we know that ultimately, if we're to defeat the sin that so much we struggle with, it is an act of God working in us and ourselves. Don't put yourself into situations. As you begin to speak, be reminded of the Word of God. Just stop what you're saying. Second, don't receive gossip. Spurgeon says, a talebearer carrieth the devil in his tongue. The talehearer carries the devil in his ears. How many tongues do we have? One. How many ears do we have? Two. Don't even listen to it. If someone starts to tell you something, say, you know what, go to that person, talk to them about that. I don't need to hear it. Spurgeon also said, if there were no grateful hearers of ill reports, there would be an end of the trade of spreading them. Turn them away. Tell them it's something you don't need to know. But third, let me remind you that it's not saying, what James is not saying is that we condone sin. And there is a passage of scripture that's so often used by many. Whenever someone is sinning, they don't want to confront them of the sin. They will say, judge not that ye may be judged, right? Well, I'm going to read you that passage of scripture. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 5, and I want you to hear what is said in verse 5. It says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Verse 3, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take that speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye?" Verse 5, "You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." It doesn't say that you walk away and don't confront. What it says is deal with the sin in your own life first. After that is done, after you have a right spirit about you, after that you're not going to go to them and condemn them and put them down, then go approach them. And to do so in a spirit of humility, and to do it in a spirit of gentleness, with the desire to see them restored. Not put down and you raised up because you're the righteous one. Examine your own motives. Examine your hearts. And then again, in a spirit of humility, in a spirit of gentleness, approach that person and say, "I know this, or I know this." Let's discuss it. Let's see you restore. Let's see you repent. Don't spread that morsel around the church. And then finally, this is something that Jim and Alan Redpath put together. I shared this with you before. I encourage you. It is, I've heard from some of you that you've used this. I believe God uses it, reminds us of it. Before you speak, think of this acronym of THINK. Before you say any words, 1, is it true? 2, is it helpful? 3, is it inspiring? 4, is it necessary? 5, is it kind? Our words cause so much damage. They have the ability to. But yet there's something that we can control, right? Don't be so quick to speak. Be quick to hear, not quick to speak. And make sure as you share with individuals that you're doing so in a way in which it aligns up with this. And knowing God will bless it. So with that, may we, as a body of believers, as brothers and sisters in Christ, may we not slander anyone. May we not gossip. But may we deal with sin in a way that's biblical, in a way that's right, and see us being restored and seeing us being a light on the hill. The people would see Beaver Baptist Church and say, there is a church that follows and loves after God. And their life is different. By the grace of God, He would use us to further His kingdom. With that, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today. We thank You for this day. We thank You for this day that You have set aside in Your sovereignty, that You have called us to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ for the purpose of worshiping You, for the purpose of exalting You. Father, we pray that today we did so. Pray, Father, that through Your word, that, Father, we have a better understanding of who You are, that we have a better understanding that You are the one who created us, You are the one who created the law, and that, Father, You are the one who judges the law. And Father, may we see ourselves in that light. And Father, those who struggle with gossip, struggle with slander, may we, Father, repent. May we ask for forgiveness. May we stop doing it. And Father, those who hear gossip, may we say, no, I don't want to hear it. Back to the person. Don't tell me it. Father, may we be faithful to your word. May we understand it's not just some respectable sin. It's not something that's accepted. But that, Father, we're violating your law. Your royal law, the law of love. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. So, Father, again, thank you for this time. We do love you. We ask your blessings upon us. May we take what we heard. And Father, may we be, as James says, not just mere hearers, but Father, may we be doers. And we do pray all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.